Warrior, chief, and Indian maid, you put us on a screen that way. Paints and wigs in olden days, everything but our red gaze. Hey-yo, hey-ya, hey-yo.
Hoo-ya!
Welcome to The Red Gaze, the podcast where we critique Native-themed films based on our perspective as the Native audience. A program where we discuss what films get right, what they get wrong, and how we apply the red gaze to what could have been. Hello, listeners out there. Welcome back to the podcast, and thank you for listening to The Red Gaze. I am here with my fellow Native movie critics, the Roger Eberts of Indian Country. Our regulars, Marley Finley. Our Gen Zer, our youngin, Zoe Landon.
Hello, hello.
And Uncle Ben Mills Landon.
What up?
And he's at-ah today, so you're in for a treat. You're in for a treat because he's on one and we're reviewing More Than Fry Bread. More Than Fry Bread is a 2012 film. Pretty low budget film. Once again, synopsis is 22 Arizona tribal representatives convene in Flagstaff, Arizona to compete for the first ever annual State of Arizona Fry Bread Championship hosted by the Worldwide Fry Bread Association. So since this takes place down in Flagstaff, Arizona, I have to start with my Navajo joke. You guys ever heard of the Navajo one?
Yeah, which one?
If you can't be a Yazzie, you might as well be gay. Hey. All right. Sorry, all you Navajos out there. That was terrible. All right. So a little more about the film. IMDb gave it a 6.8 out of 10.
That's
really high. And it's 79% in Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, what do you think of that?
Those are overrated. Way over. I mean, no offense.
Writer, director, producer, once again, is a lone white guy. Travis Holt Hamilton is the writer, director, producer. It's his dream to make a movie about fried bread.
It's not fry bread. It's indigenous bread.
Indigenous bread.
He must have went to a powwow and it changed his life.
Yeah. You know?
I wonder who his wife is. Did he marry a native or how did he come across this?
His wife's the executive producer, so she must have just paid for it.
He didn't have to rely on his aunties and grandmas.
Yeah,
and
nobody had to do Indian taco
sales. No Robert sales.
No GoFundMes.
No Indian taco sales at the tribal building.
I swear we bring that up every time. The budget.
But I mean, in Christmas in the Clouds, they had a $3 million budget. This guy could have got $3 million probably too.
Like that Kate Hamilton obviously knew people who knew people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this guy knows people who knows people.
Went to the res, found some natives. That's
about it. Yep. What did you guys find out about this film?
I just read that the Hamilton, the guy that made the movie, his main goal was to change the way people view Native Americans. He just said that there's very limited amount of comedies and dramas regarding natives in the mainstream media, and that he wanted to use fry bread as something that could bring people and other cultures together. So.
Well, it kind of does because I went to like Kroll's Diner here in Bismarck. They do have fried dough on the menu. So there's that connection, I guess. Bring our German and native culture together.
Yeah.
A perfect unity over harmony. Golden fluffy fry bread.
So, like, I Googled this movie, and it said documentary/comedy. And it said, this is the funniest plot I ever heard. It says, More Than Fry Bread hits the funny bone. When Marlene Begay emerged from the premiere of More Than Fry Bread, she was laughing hysterically. And that was the funniest plot I heard. Because I never laughed hysterically.
I watched this movie twice.
I didn't even laugh.
I watched this movie with you, and you ruined it, because you're just, like, not laughing or nothing.
Oh, I was killing the vibe?
So I was like...
Killing the vibe.
I was killing the vibe.
I'm never watching a movie with you ever again.
Well, I mean, if it's funny, yeah, I'll laugh. But well, it's not funny.
I kind of have to agree with you, Ben. Like, not that it wasn't, because I thought there was some funny parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was.
There was definitely some funny parts. But I think overall, my major criticism of this film is because, once again, it's the white gaze and it's not a native made film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That. Mm-hmm. it was a little too like slapstick kind of comedy, which is like what this is not native.
Yeah,
that's not really native humor. It's more like
we like to roast each other,
right? Yeah, like more teasing and it's more subtle and stuff. So you can tell like some of the over the top acting was like really forced.
Yeah,
it didn't really seem like it fit right.
I think that me and Benny were watching it. We weren't laughing at any of the jokes. The thing that was making us laugh was the serious acting.
Trying to be serious.
Them trying to be really, like, into the movie. We couldn't get over it. We're like, that's so fakey.
Well, my mom, she always says, I watched it. And she's like, oh, I want to watch the movie with you. And I was like, Mom, I already watched it. And I said, I don't know if you'll like it. I said, it was okay. I said, but it wasn't like the funniest. And she always says, well, you know, I always tell you natives, they just can't act for some reason. There's only a few that are good at acting.
I can't remember where this quote came from. It was like, when you're trying to be a serious actor, you don't want your co-actors to be animal or a child because they're bad actors. But natives took the cake. They took the title. Like, you don't want to act as a native or animal or a child.
Yeah, she always says natives and basketball players can't act.
Well, aside from that, it was all right.
Yeah,
it
was worth one watch.
They tried.
That's what I said. Okay, the white guy took a really good swing, but he fights like a white guy.
Got KO'd.
I think that's true, though. You know, I 100% give him props. He went out of his way, and then all native cast, and like, you know, it takes a lot of time to edit, and like I do my own editing, and I can't even edit a 1 minute video. I can't imagine a movie, so I guess it's the thought that counts, you know. Yeah.
And he did. I mean, if you look at it strictly from a movie making standpoint, he did good editing. He did. There were good scenes. Like, yeah. I mean, the camera angles.
Like it was put together really well.
Yeah, it was put together really well. I thought so. I was like, okay, give props for that because you know we've seen worse. Editing and you know, like,
and this was just a mockumentary.
So when I was looking at when they made this film, he wrote it in 2008, and that was right about the time, the early 2000s, when there was a lot of sitcoms and movies that were coming out that were doing that kind of mockumentary type of thing. Borat, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind, all of those mockumentaries were coming out. And then that style, the mockumentary style was
where
also
they, like,
in...
interview them and stuff?
Yeah, yeah, where they interview them, like A Modern Family, Parks and Rec, The Office. You know, so there was all these like TV shows and all these movies that were coming out. And so I think that probably just inspired him then. And then he just like, oh, let's do this Fry Red thing.
Yeah.
That is something to think about, though. Because like comedy evolved. Mm-hmm. Like back then, like it was like that, like observing something and thinking the humor in it. But now it's like to be funny, it's got to be obscene.
Well, I don't know many natives that like watch those shows either, like
The Office
or Modern Family,
or even Seinfeld back even before that.
You know, like that's just not our cup of tea, I guess. Yeah, for funny stuff. You know,
when somebody says something in native, like, "Hey, that's you."
Yeah. That's our jokes, you know. I point at somebody, that's you right there, that's your girlfriend.
We talked a little bit, shout out, about using all native actors, though, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tatanka Means was Buddy Begay. Tracy Lightning, played by Mary Kim Titla. J.W. Washington is the actor Donathan Littlehair.
I always felt bad for him.
I know. Camille Nighthorse played Sammy Powski. And then Day Anite, I don't know if that's how you say her name, Gomez, played the Sunshine and Stormy Smith. Your favorite character, Charmaine.
I love Charmaine.
and then Travis Holt Hamilton, who made the film, actually did a cameo as Dr. Robert Hamblin.
Put himself in the movie? I would do the same.
Well,
though,
he was kind of making fun of himself, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Calling it indigenous bread. Yeah,
because he didn't want to offend all the natives. I call it different stuff.
And but he was the cultural anthropologist in the film. Well, you gotta give him props for that. You know what I mean? That kind of poking fun at yourself, because most white directors, producers, writers would never do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move into doing our little feathers, because here on The Red Gaze, we give out feathers to our favorite scenes in various categories or various areas. Our little feathers are based on Sasheen Little Feather, who represented Marlon Brando at the 45th Academy Awards, who declined the Best Actor Award in protest of the portrayal of Native Americans and to draw attention to the standoff at Wounded Knee. But here in The Red Gaze, you know, we kind of want to call attention to the portrayal of natives in movies, and so that's why we give out our feathers. And our first feather that we're giving out is our fancy dancer feather, which is the best scene. What do you guys got?
I just mostly liked any scene with the Charmaine, because she she really acted like those scary aunties, those mean, scary aunties. I have my own mean, scary auntie. I've even seen you be scary a few times. Like, even, like, not that long ago, you're getting mad at one of the little ones in our family, and I still got scared. Like, yo.
Yeah. I guess if you're a native auntie, you can give the native auntie look.
Yeah. We got anxiety.
Yeah. Felt like I was 5 years old again.
PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, post-traumatic anti-disorder.
Oh, we just coined a new term. Post-traumatic anti-disorder.
So, any, like, all those scenes are making me laugh where she's just, like, snapping her eyes around at everybody and judging the way they're just talking about everybody and judging them and
looking them up and down.
Yeah, moosing the security. Yeah. Out of the yep.
Wait, was it her at the ending where she's really slapping them up with that fry bread?
Oh yeah, she's the one that starts the riot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mine too, Charmaine. Mm-hmm. Like, what I went with is when they send her off. Remember, she's at work.
Oh yeah.
And they're like sending her off, and then they send her off to the fry bread contest, and the co-workers, those two co-workers, they always come back to those two. Like, well, we got rid of her, so let's head out. They leave work.
As soon as their boss leaves, they
just leave, like real tribal employees. All right, the supervisor's out here. Let's go.
Let's go. And then they're like saying, well, if she keeps, let's cheer for her. If she keeps winning, that's the longer she'll be away from
here. If she keeps winning, the longer she'll be. At the end, too, remember that one guy took her spot?
Oh, yeah. She got fired.
She got fired and took her position.
I really like that when Buddy's at his little trailer spot, and when he was packing up to leave, there's that guy that came up to come get that big old stack of fry breads.
Oh yeah, his uncle, his relative. Oh, we're related.
He's you're my little uncle, he said. You're my little uncle.
I like that because he really sounded red. And like the way he was I don't know.
Hey, first of the month.
When he said little uncle too, I was like, only natives will get that.
Right.
We have aunties and uncles that are younger than us.
That was like a whole stack of 10 fry breads, too.
He gets his dozen, remember? Yeah. He said he gets his dozen fry breads.
And that's just how natives are, too. He just gave him all those breads. I'm like, he probably don't make no money just giving away all his fry breads.
I have to say, honestly, my fancy dancer feather goes to all those types of scenes, like the crowd scenes when you're just looking at Indians, you know, and you can see that they're just kind of winging it. It's like they're really being they're just like being native. It's just hilarious. Those are the scenes that I thought were the funniest.
Yeah, they're all hype just to be in the movie.
Yeah, I can tell. Like,
we're in a movie.
Act like you know what you're doing.
They still couldn't act. I know. They were like,
even the background.
Just self-conscious. Everybody's self-conscious.
Holding signs. And
barely holding.
Do I hold it up? Or do I hold it here? Covering their face. Just Bucky still.
Yeah, still Bucky.
Couldn't get over it because all those scenes, you could just tell that they're just constantly aware of where the camera was at. Like, they would be they'd be facing a completely different angle, but they would be fixing their hair, smiling, staring off the space, all awkward. Man, it looked nuts. You could just tell they're just really self-conscious.
Yeah, those are my favorite scenes. The other favorite scene I had was just a little scene, but after all the big fry bread fight starts, and that one lady is, she has a bunch of fry bread and she starts throwing them out like frisbees.
Oh yeah,
it's like whoosh.
And it really had the sound effect.
I know. That's what made it the best scene for me. He added sound effects. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh,
whoosh. Sound effects.
Low budget movie, but I'm gonna spend money on putting sound effects on these flying fry breads.
Really taught the smudging on the sound effects.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to our next feather, which is our sneak up feather.
Best secondary character?
Best, who stole the show?
I went with the MC.
Oh, yeah.
The MC of the pop.
His hair was totally 80s, man. His
feathered mullet. Had he's wearing a sequin vest. He had a sequin vest.
Oh, my God.
He had a lot of stale jokes, but, I mean, just his appearance alone kind of stole the show the way he looked.
Yeah.
That's and how they would only cheer for just him, remember?
Yeah. That's how some natives are, though. They're flashy. And
gotta have the turquoise.
And the hairdo. Yeah.
We should have did a compare and contrast of this one and Christmas in the Clouds. Like, what if they had gotten West Studi?
My favorite secondary character was Donathan.
he was good, too.
I felt bad for him. He's trying to run a good, his section of Arizona, he was trying to run a good show, but all those aunties, they're just all too mean, and the res came out.
He's really describing his trophy.
I know.
These four
just,
colors.
That made me laugh.
That was a fiber ripped in half. It wasn't even a fiber.
And then the flames. He said, that's where they cook. The flames from when they're cooking the fry bread.
And the trophy can only face east.
Yeah. And he didn't know which way.
Which way is east?
Pointing around.
Yeah, I liked him.
He was good.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite, one of my favorite characters, too.
Well, I had a hard time picking, so I have to give two feathers because I had a really hard time picking. So I think who really... made the show was the news correspondent, Tracy Lightning.
Yep, Tracy Lightning. Yeah.
She was just totally at ease and a natural.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I said she had to have
we had that conversation.
Like that. We were talking about that. We watched it this morning.
When we were watching it a second time this morning, I was like, she's the only one that seemed natural in front of the camera. Because otherwise, everybody was
all weird.
So they were uncomfortable and adjusting themselves.
I think she saved it from being a little too slapstick and a little too white guy. She really gave some, she grounded it. And I had to laugh when they first introduced her, in the first few seconds. Here's our native correspondent, and that's native with a big N. So I thought she was really a good part of the movie. She really gave it some grounding. And I think without her, it would have been a total loss. And then the other sneak up feather I have to give is to the thin beaded line, the security guards.
I was talking about, I was going to say that's one of my other favorite characters was Junior. He had no lines and he was always just in the corner next to his friend.
Copying?
That
was funny
too. I really liked him. He just didn't even talk.
Yeah, he was like his little protege.
Yeah.
He was copying just sit here and copy him.
Oh my God. So the main security guard was when they first showed him and he was talking and he's like, yeah, I've been doing this a long time. My dad used to make me guard his beer.
That was a good line.
I have to wonder too, as you're watching this film, how many of that was ad libbed and how much of that was actually written into it, or was that ad lib? Because that kind of seems to me like a crazy ad lib that he probably said.
Because the anthropologist wouldn't think of that line,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't put that in the script.
He'd be too scared of offending anybody. Yeah. Maybe we'll call it Indigenous Bread, and we won't make jokes about drinking.
I did pick the MC because it was tough to pick a secondary character because it was they're all equal characters.
Yeah,
it seemed
right.
Yeah. There's no main character.
There was enough screen time to get to know everyone.
Maybe Tonka, maybe, or the reporter.
Yeah,
probably the main two. So everybody else was in secondary characters.
Killed it.
Anyway.
Let's move on.
Next segment.
All right, let's move on. The nay moment.
The fry bread one. I couldn't get over that where she's all slapping him all hard with that fry bread. It's all back and forth.
They sure did it in slow motion, too.
Yeah, my name moment it was probably towards the whole movie was kind of a name moment. But the ending, where you're talking everybody's getting slapped up by fry bread and everybody's fighting.
It was a full fry bread riot.
Yeah.
You were there's a bunch of sections where Buddy's throwing stuff out into the crowd. he would like turn and look all cool. He like threw that empty bag of flour, and those people in the crowd are all like really cheering and waving
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that too, the crowd.
It was cracking me
the
up.
The crowd.
Or that sign that really cracked me up. But it was, I was like, ew. Like in the crowd, I think, what did it say? Grease Queen?
The Grease Queen?
Oh, so I feel like the director probably went in there and was like, just act like crazy as you can. Because if you actually went into an actual fry bread competition, they'd all be just sitting there.
So like mine was the white guy judging. I went to that.
Oh,
point.
Yeah.
He judged thousands of fry bread contests.
Well, they had an explanation for that.
Yeah,
though.
They said he's like,
because he's not related to anybody.
So he's not biased.
Yeah, I think they asked me to be a judge because I'm not related to anybody.
So there's no bias. Yeah.
He showed a ponytail and a bolo tie sitting there.
He's dressed like the fry bread.
That was my name moment was the judges. I kind of felt like the judges went maybe a little overboard. He just told them, just act like judges. And
when he's like, they're like measuring.
Yeah, they're like measuring with the ruler and they're and that
oh,
one.
Oh, examining it with that microscope.
Yeah, one had light. Like this big light thing. And then there was one scene where Charmaine is giving them all the evil eye and they come over and they're this one is trying to like measure her bread and then she takes it away from him and then she throws a fry bread on him and it kind of lands on his shoulder and stuff. And I was like, okay, I don't know. That seems like not a reality and it seems like something that wouldn't, you know, like it just seems like such a white guy type of humor thing and not necessarily something natives would do that. I was like, okay, I don't know if that's.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like their type of humor is angled different from us, so it just felt awkward, that whole situation.
Yes.
Everything was awkward.
That's how
the whole movie I felt.
Yep.
I mean, the other part about that, too, what was weird to me was they got frisked. Every person that submitted fry bread got frisked.
Yeah.
They were, like, searching them.
What were they doing that for? I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand that either. Auntie Anne didn't either.
Like, why are they getting frisked? Their fry bread is already made.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't get that either.
You'll never know, Benny.
Put it in that movie. We'll have to ask Holt. Holt.
Somebody get a hold of Holt. The other name moment I had was when they had Dr. Mark talk about the fry bread addiction and disorders.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, this is going a little too far. This is like when, you know, when natives are sitting around joking and then somebody goes like too far, you know, everybody adds on and then one person goes too far and
then it's over.
And then, then you're like, hey, just killed it. Not, you know,
yeah,
that took
felt
it too
like,
far.
Yeah, that felt like a, hey, just killed it moment.
Let us enjoy our fry bread.
Oh, someday we're going to have robots dispensing fry bread. I don't want robots dispensing fry bread. And I was like, hey, okay, killed it.
Funny.
I know, it's corny.
Next category, who could handle your auntie or your uncle?
Tracy Lightning.
Yeah, definitely Tracy.
She's very normal.
She's a strong like Indian woman, you
she's
can tell.
She's a strong, independent woman.
Well, I want Stormy.
Hey, of course. The pretty wild auntie.
Yeah.
How did we know? I was actually even going to call that. I was going to put that down. Watch Ben pick Sunshine or Stormy.
Yeah.
Or both. He'd be playing them off each other.
Was it Stormy that was going to go look for snags the whole time?
Yeah. That's why I picked her. Because
she's trying to find a snag.
At the end, when I was putting those Polaroid photographs, that was hers. Stormy's trying to find her snag.
Still looking. Still looking,
yeah.
She probably wants one with big per cap.
Holy.
Jeez, leaves you out, Ben.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry you come from a poor tribe. All right, I had to go with the security guard.
There's a lot
he
of security
obscure,
guards.
The obscure one, Chopper. I went for Chopper, the security guard, because he said, we're kind of like Navajo gladiators.
Yeah. I remember that. I wonder if they gave the security guards any, like, script or anything, or if they were just going on their own, you know. They were funny.
Yeah,
that's
they
what
were
I think
pretty
too.
Funny.
Like it's Mariah has said that before in some of our pods. Like it's always like the native actors that bring when they bring themselves, they're so funny. And I think that's it seems to me like that's what happened here. The really funny parts seem like unscripted, like little things that only Native people would know.
Yeah.
I really felt like the security, like their lines or their scenes were funnier than like the main actor's scenes.
Yeah,
and their little cuts, they're like, oh, they were funny, man.
Yeah, security guards, the thin beaded line.
I couldn't get over it. Those security guards kept making me think of when I went to school down at Standing Rock and our little hall monitors. I don't know.
Acting like they were just protecting everybody.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the school monitors were cool and like, you know, everybody knew who they were and they knew who we were, but they just cracked me up because like that's how they act at the school. Like they're
really acting like they're just
really like they're like
those little things in their ears, like
top flight security.
Yeah, like security for the president or something.
Like maybe like they were United Tribes security.
That's how tribe security acts.
That are in the powwow.
Maybe that.
They could have stopped the insurrection.
Yeah, that's what they think.
The fry bread security could have stopped the insurrection. That's a hot take.
If they were there, yep. They were at the Capitol, would have been over in minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Those Navajo gladiators.
There would have been no buffalo head guys. Yeah.
Just bulldogged his horns right there.
Steel wrestled him.
All right, so shout out to all the Native security out there. Yeah. Respect for the thin beaded line. Let's move on to our next feather for scene 86. Oh, a lot of this was cringy, but
I thought the ending went on too long. The fight, I feel like that went way too long. So if they could not 86 the whole thing, but 86 like 75% of it, you know. I would be fine with that.
We kept thinking that it was going to end because we checked the time and it said 15 minutes. We're like, oh, okay, cool. 15 minutes. And
still
like,
going?
It's like, it's like a 20 minute
fight. That's the longest 15 minutes of my life.
None of it was funny.
It was just slow-mo throwing fry bread.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. I kind of like lost interest there.
So my scene 86 was when the writer-director put himself in the movie. Shameful self-promotion.
Yeah. I thought that was good. I liked his whole little indigenous, I'm going to call it indigenous bread.
Yeah, because he didn't want to offend nobody because it's Bannock.
Hey, at least he gets that, though. Yeah. He gets teasing yourself, you know, like he gets that part of Native humor where you tease yourself.
Well, I guess one thing I liked about it, too, is when you say the title of your movie in your movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said Marlon Freiberg in it.
Yeah. Zoe, what you got?
I'd have to go with the ending, too. That's the thing that I completely lost interest in. I actually sat on my phone, and no disrespect, I just couldn't get over it. I got bored.
Keep looking up, and it's still happening. Scroll some more. I look up, it's still going.
I was all, man, I just want to see who the winner is the whole time.
Yeah,
I kept
me
looking
too.
Up. Just there
Nobody
was no
won?
Win.
No, I was like, just after all of that.
Like, halfway through, I didn't care who won. Mm-hmm. Just end it. Give the trophy to one of these four people.
Donathan should have just let himself.
Donathan, yeah.
Donathan, little hair.
With his gabubu braid.
How long was she in the hospital?
Then after the movie ended, like 2 months later or whatever, she's still in the hospital for fry bread grease burns.
Ew.
Must be IHS.
Another scene that was really cringy to watch, I thought, like, because he was trying so, I don't know if it was, again, scripted or going off of, Buddy or whatever, when he's standing there in that pen with all those like are there sheep or goats?
Yeah. Sheep, yeah.
Oh, and he's sitting there trying to rap to them, and I was like, okay, like. And then he kept doing it, following them around, and like I was like, it was,
he was always rapping.
It wasn't even funny, but it was just funny because of how dumb it was. I was like, what's going on?
Talking to the sheep like they're his fans and stuff. These youth that are following me, they follow me.
Yeah. He's like, they look up to me.
Yes.
He's trying too hard to be funny, man.
Was it scripted? They said he's a comedian. I've heard of him, but I had never watched any of his stuff.
Yeah. Me either, so.
I thought he was from up here, but they said he's part Navajo, so that's probably why he was down there.
Well, maybe up here, our humor is way funnier than their humor down there.
So just like they say, Navajo tacos, Indian tacos.
We're gooder.
Indian tacos.
Way good.
Navajo tacos have beans on them, like, just like nothing but beans.
I don't get that. No offense, but I don't like Navajo
just
tacos.
Just offending Navajos.
No, Navajos, you guys are cool.
just a little bland.
My scene 86 had to be that Betty character and that whole storyline.
Is that the princess?
Yeah, the princess.
Oh, yeah. I didn't understand that.
I didn't either. I just like felt she was just pitiful.
Yeah,
like I didn't.
No,
I felt
me too. I felt bad for her.
Yeah, what was
it? Wasn't funny.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. I wasn't sure what he was trying to say with that.
Or what they're trying to get out of it with her carrying that doll around the whole time too.
Yeah,
I was
like is she half off? Like,
yeah,
I'd be making fun of half off people.
I mean, it's like I couldn't understand it either. And I mean, I don't know her as a character.
Is she half off?
Is she half off?
She's probably full off, not half off. Carrying a doll around when you're a full-grown adult? You're not half off.
I know we have all those old Indian princesses that are forever Indian princesses, but I can't make fun of them.
I don't think it stuck to me, or I couldn't understand, or like, what was she trying to do? Like, kept reminiscing on like wanting to be a princess?
Yeah, like, or did she thought she was in a beauty pageant and not a fry bread contest? Or I was trying to figure it out. I watched it, you know, a couple times too, and I was like, I don't get it.
What's her storyline?
I don't get it. She could be totally cut out and there would be nothing.
Yeah, because she doesn't make it anyway.
Yeah, so. It doesn't, nothing really added to the film or nothing taken away. She was just like a weird character stuck in there.
Like a side plot that didn't really fit.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't go anywhere.
All right, let's move on to our next category, our cousin Feather.
I was thinking I would like Tanya Hall as the MC.
She would have made it pretty funny.
Or Auntie Beatrice maybe could have
or
been
Auntie
one
Beatrice
of the
could have been one of the contestants. That would have been funny too.
Oh man, I could come in smoking
and getting after everybody.
Charmaine could have went toe to toe.
Chick fight.
Yeah.
I can really see them throwing fry breads.
Instead of throwing hands.
Throwing fry breads. I think Marley topped that one.
No. I don't know.
I'll keep my card in my hand after that. I can't even top that.
I can't either, man. That would have been perfect.
Tanya Hall as an MC? Holy. She would have been funnier than that guy.
I think she would have been funnier than him.
I like the fact that they used locals, though, and people from the tribes.
Yeah, that was
You know what I
good,
mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have been, I mean, that's cool that they had local people, and he tried to feature local people, like, from all the tribes, too.
Yeah.
You know, from the different ones that are down there.
Yeah. Well, maybe, like I said, maybe because, you know, I think he's called Reg Charging Online. That's, like, his online persona.
Oh, yeah.
I think he would have been funny, too, like...
In Tataka's place.
Yeah. But maybe, again, that's just our humor is different than theirs down there. I don't know.
Because we're funnier.
Because I think he would have been a good... I think he's funny, too, his little clips and stuff.
Oh, heck yeah.
I think
The thing, though, if you think about it, like... Because this was a white guy doing it, writing, producing, directing, is he telling people to do this? Or, you know, because like you said, it seemed so forced so many times. And it's like, if this was written like really from a native perspective, it would have been a much funnier.
Plus another thing, Cheryl, is like, that's 10 years ago. The humor 10 years ago compared to now is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, our humor now compared to then is probably a lot different.
I don't think I would still laugh at this.
I think what you're saying though, Ben, it's not that it's different. It's just that we've had other opportunities. So, like with Reservation Dogs, like you could see how subtle the humor can be, and he had time to do that.
Because I watched Dumb and Dumber like last week, and compared to like when it first came out, it is not as funny as it was when it first came out. So
I
know what you mean. Like 10 years.
Sometimes
10 years can make a difference.
With like Beverly Hills Ninja or like those movies would, like, if I showed.
They stand the test of time, some of them.
Yeah.
But
like,
it depends.
Well, we think it's funny because we've seen it when it was funny, you know. But like, if I was to show Beverly Hills Ninja to like somebody who never watched it, like maybe like, Zoe, you would not think it's funny at all.
Beverly Hills Ninja. It's a white guy pretending to be a ninja. Now that's cultural appropriation. Yeah.
I was thinking for the Cousin Feather, it would have been kind of cool if they would have did like a Canadian version of the Worldwide Bannock Association mm-hmm. and the challenges, and then do one with the Northern Plains.
With the
and,
fry bread.
Yeah, Northern Plains fry bread versus the South fry bread or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? That would have been kind of a funny thing to like eventually develop.
What was up with a popover? What does popover mean?
I never heard of popover.
I have never heard fry bread called
What
popovers.
Tribe is a popover? I don't even know.
No, but they were talking about
she
it.
She was the Ono Odom, so maybe they call it down there.
Yeah, because somebody looked a popover? It up and you're like,
I didn't Google it. I should have.
Yeah. They said it's a word for fry bread. They call them popovers.
I mean, they had bannock in there, so it must be a real something. They call
must
it that.
Be a thing. We'll just call it indigenous bread.
Yeah. Don't want to offend nobody. But, I mean, that just shows you that all natives aren't like a monolith. You know, we all have our own different cultures and jokes and thing, you know, what we call things. And
I think that's the thing too, like for this film, when I was trying to do research about it and stuff, it was very regional. Like it was shown in all the Southwest theaters and stuff. And I thought was kind of funny. Their budget was $4,500 because he did a Kickstarter or whatever and raised $4,500 to do this film. And it made $2,500 opening weekend.
He made half his budget back.
He made half his money back.
Well, how much money did the smudging have? This looks
that was 2,000.
2,500. Yeah, twice the budget.
Can make it look that good.
Like, hey, smudging got good effects though.
Yeah, it did.
Kind of like good editors though.
Mm-hmm. I think he probably spent half his budget on this one on the helicopter, and remember the helicopter comes down after she gets in the horrible fry bread accident.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he had to
unless
close
he had a buddy.
Yeah, he had to close down IHS for one day for that scene.
Yep. So that's why it only cost a little bit. Nobody was there anyway.
Oh, shit. There was no individualized shirts like Smudging had.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He spent all their money on their t-shirts. All right, well, speaking of the smudging, we should move on to our smudge bomb. Who needed a smudging in this
film? I think we all know we're going to smudge bomb.
Who, Charmaine?
Yeah. I was just smushing about Charmaine.
Yeah, she's definitely bringing bad medicine and bad vibes wherever she goes.
I know, just giving everybody stink eye, flipping her hair,
shouldering people out of the way. She shouldered that little security guard out of the way.
She's even giving those judges evil eyes, too. So everybody smudge Charmaine.
Yeah, she looks like a Charmaine.
She does.
Like her real name probably is Charmaine. I didn't look at the credits, but probably scrolls by Charmaine, played by Charmaine. Yeah.
Auntie Charmaine. Don't want to piss off Auntie Charmaine.
All right, so what else you guys got to say about this film? Is there any other scenes or any other things that you came across that you want to mention?
It's when those two coworkers are sitting in the room and they're eating, and then that girl's coming in and is like chewing them out. But the only thing I
need, you mean Charmaine?
Auntie Charmaine?
Oh yeah. But the thing that I had that captured me, which I didn't like, was that they took a scene where she. I can't remember her name right now, but her Charmaine's coworker, that girl that was in there, she makes a face and rolls her eyes. They use the same clip twice, I swear.
Two times in a
did
row?
They? You could tell because it cuts back to them while they're sitting there, and then it cuts back to her face again, and it's the same clip, I swear. They didn't even like take the time to like at least try to shoot it.
Well, they only had $2,500.
Okay.
Or $4,500.
But it's like, I mean, 2 seconds worth of time for her to look like, you know, make a different face at least. You can tell it's a copy and paste.
Maybe it was out of the budget. I don't know. I mean, and then I guess another thing is the Tatanka means that's Russell Bean's son. So
so coattails.
Yep.
He probably did a review of this movie and said it was the greatest film of its time.
Like it was Pocahontas. I mean, one thing about being here in North Dakota, like, I think about bluebird flour. We only got that up here.
Mm-mm.
So,
oh,
like,
yeah.
We got commodity flour, we got great value flour, but I've never had fry bread from bluebird flour. Have you guys?
Mm. Nope.
No, I guess that's a thing, yeah.
It is. Like, I've seen memes.
So is it
natives
better?
Have
is it,
made with
is it
that
gooder?
Flower. Is it gooder? I don't know.
It's way gooder.
I was laughing at that part where that Charmaine was, they were first like interviewing her and she was like, just like pounding her dough all over the place and she was like talking all
I know,
meat mad
I've
and
seen
stuff.
That she was all sweating too.
Yeah.
She was really getting into it. All
I was
mad.
Like, oh, I was just horrified. Like, oh my God, my mom would just kill us if we handled our dough that way.
I know, I was waiting for one of those jokes where like, beat your dough like you beat your man.
No.
Well, I wanted to give a shout out to those scenes with the man on the street interviews because there's a whole section there where it's so funny because like this one guy, this old guy gets up and he's like, yeah, all my stomach is from fry bread, and he's really rubbing his stomach. There's another guy that's on there. He's like, yeah, a long time ago, we used to use fry bread as a shield. An arrow comes and then it bounces off and then he makes all these sound effects. Pachung, it goes off. So yeah, I think those moments where they're just picking random people and they're just randomly talking, it sounds like it was a lot of that was like ad-libbed.
Improvised,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, improvised.
Yeah. See, I like that people like can go out of their way to do improvisation or if they can't remember script. And that goes for, I guess, any movie because most of the time there's a lot of lines that are like in other movies that are iconic that are improvised because if you're quick-witted, then it makes sense.
And right.
It really suits movies.
Yeah. I think, especially comedy movies when the people are actually funny. I think like Robin Williams, when I think of him, they always just let him go off and he's always making everybody laugh.
They said a lot of Will Smith's lines in Men in Black were ad-libbed too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's so true because if people would get native humor, there could have been a lot of cool ad-libbed lines in there. But I don't think that this guy really knew how to harness it, you know, because he was trying to be more like maybe his type of humor or the mockumentary style type of humor, which didn't really fit. So it kind of seemed like you said, a lot of the movie was really awkward, you know.
It really made you feel embarrassed. Awkward watch, you know, like I just felt something's just a little bit off.
Yeah.
It's funnier, you know.
See, if people felt, I feel like 100% the movie could have, I mean, it was good. I watched it once and that's enough for me, but I think I could watch it. I think I could watch it like maybe, you know, another time or another two times if like everybody either felt or acted more natural. Like, I feel like if they kind of got more like if it was practicing lines or what they had to do to make them feel comfortable or even trying to like imagine the camera not there. If it looked a little bit more natural, it probably could have been more smoother and it wouldn't have made me feel awkward, you know?
Exactly. As a watcher, it was really hard. I felt like embarrassed for people
sometimes. I felt like I was in the movie or something. Like the angles when they were like touching their hair, like trying to smile all awkward. I was like, ew, make me feel like, I don't know.
That's just how we act too. Like
really bucky.
Yeah. Really bucky.
Well, what do you guys think? What's your overall view of this movie then?
Well,
a one watcher?
Yeah, it's a one watcher, but I mean, I give props to the white guy trying to, you know, he tried and he did get like actual natives from Arizona and
did manage to capture some good like native moments, I think.
And it does show a different, you don't really see movies about Navajos and Apaches and Yaquis and all, you know.
Yep.
You don't see movies about
those tribes.
Yeah, it's always like the Plains natives all the time. So it was kind of refreshing to see because I don't know much about their culture either, you know. So it was cool to see, you know. I know like the last names, like your little joke in the beginning. That's about Navajo tacos. That's about how much I know. And they like mutton.
And they like mutton. Kind of threw that in there.
There was this thing in there about the Yavapai and the Apaches.
Mm-hmm.
They must have thrown them together because remember she said, it's your Yavapai side. No, it's your Apache side.
Yeah.
No, and I was like, what's that all about? Because that's like, he seemed like an insider joke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't know what that was about. So it would have been cool to find out.
Yeah.
I feel like I wish I knew, just like what you were saying about how like, I wish I knew their humor down there too. Because I feel like some things in there might have made a little bit more sense.
Right.
Or just like how we have our words, like, Natchez, Tuolumne,
they were speaking some of their language.
Like,
I mean, I didn't know what they were saying.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, too. Like, cause, like, if
I
they,
wish they would have put, like, some
little
captions.
Because they were speaking in their native language, and I was like, that's what I was asking these guys. I was like, what did they speak again? Because I was just like, oh, I wish I could afford subtitles. Would have been cool,
Maybe they thought only natives from down there were going to watch it. I wonder if it does get like that, though. Like, remember where Buddy's talking about how he showed up and all the aunties and grandmas were mad?
Yeah.
You know, because his bread's better or whatever. Like, my parents used to have a stand at powwows, too, and they said it can get pretty, like,
competitive.
Oh, yeah. Slandering?
Once you start somebody
to try to come up on top?
You start taking people's customers and stuff.
Like, they have, like, great big holy. They did look like Frisbees, like, really great big fry breads. And I was like, that must be a Southwest thing. So
Yeah, I know what you mean. More wider, flatter.
Yeah.
Like, just the way it looked.
It looked different than our fry bread looks up here. So
maybe it's that bluebird flower. Hey,
maybe.
We used to commodity up here.
Well, maybe, you know, I did like the idea of a mockumentary, too. You know, maybe he could do, like, we could do one on, like, the basketball or the powwow circuit.
Let's do it.
Start a GoFundMe.
Let's get an Indian taco sale going.
Maybe we can get the guy who did the smudging, he can direct it.
We'll collaborate.
Gather all the cousins now.
Yeah, everybody gets a bit part. Don't have to pay anybody. All right, we're going to go start working on our script now.
Get a drum group and everything.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah, we're ready.
It was a stormy night. At United Tribes.
At United Tribes power.
Security guards were on alert.
Okay, we're not going to keep going.
All right.
We don't want to give it away.
All right, well, thank you guys so much once again for listening to the Red Gaze. That's all we got for today. Like us on iTunes and Spotify, and
go follow
us, and tell your friends and your cousins and your baby mama and your baby daddy
and your aunties.
They're gonna like this one, so tell them to give a listen to the Red Gaze, and we'll be here next time. Hope you'll listen to our next one as we move into the blockbusters.
Yes.
All right, see y'all later.
Bye. Like and subscribe.
Flutes and feathers, eagles cry. No more saviors, no more lies. Waiting for better days. We'll be here with our red gaze. Hey-oh, hey-ya, hey-oh.
Here!